Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com.
Don't have a lot of former, or not former, current major league superstars here on the podcast, but Jake Mangum, good to have you back with us here on the bye week. And I'm going to start this off. We're going to get some clarity on something. I demand clarity on this. All right. We all know your nickname is the mayor. We all know that. However, I saw a thing that the Rays put out. They were like, the mayor of Starkville. I have always referred to you as the mayor of Oxford because you dominated Ole Miss so badly when you were in college here. And, you know, A.J. Brown likes to say he's the mayor of Starkville, despite the fact that he was 1-2 against Mississippi State in his three Egg Bowls. Are you the mayor of Starkville or the mayor of Oxford?
First off, I love A.J. Brown. I think he's a great dude, great football player. He's really close with some family members of mine. He's a great dude. And his dad's worked with Mississippi State for a long time, actually. So he's from Starkville. So I don't ever get really involved with that. But I don't really care, man. The whole mayor thing started as the seniors were kind of picking at me my freshman year, just because I knew a lot of people on campus.
Yeah,
you know, because we had a lot of guys from, you know, like different parts of the country and different parts of even out of the country. We had Canadian guys, mm-hmm. and I came in to school from Pearl, Mississippi. So they were like, "Man, you know everybody around here." I was like, "Yeah, well, Rankin County is a pretty heavy Mississippi State area." So they were just poking at me, but. That's how all that started. But, dude, I don't care what you call me, man. Just call me Jake. I don't care.
So we had you on Sports Talk Mississippi, I think back in, like, last February, when you had gotten the Major League roster invitation, and you were so adamant about, like, this does not mean I'm in the bigs. I'm not in the bigs yet. And I told you on the podcast, I was like, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. And it wasn't. So just, I guess, take us through, you know, year one as a Tampa Bay Ray and what that was like and some of the moments that stood out to you.
Yeah, so last time we talked, I got added to the 40-man roster last offseason. And like I said, man, it does not mean I'm in the big leagues. I broke spring training in AAA again. What was crazy was an hour before first pitch of AAA opening day, they called me up. Mm-hmm. It did happen pretty quick. I mean, it was a whirlwind of a year. There's nothing that will prepare you for Major League Baseball other than playing Major League Baseball. I'm very confident of that. It's the biggest jump I've ever made. There's never been a jump of levels quite like that one. At every level along the way, you could always rely on some pitching that, like, hey, this guy's not great. We can go get him today. But, man, up there it is. Every single dude that toes that rubber is gross. And, you know, kind of learning throughout the year, a lot of learning curves this year. I'm happy with how my rookie year went, but I know I can do a lot better. And I'm just working my tail off to try to implement that.
When, you know, you go around the different sites and you see the different teams, a lot of Bulldogs, a lot of other Diamond Dogs out there in the majors right now. Was there kind of that moment of, like, when you see Rooker or some of those guys, was like, finally, he's finally up here. We're glad to see you.
Yeah, a couple guys said, took you long enough. And I was like, yeah, well, that's kind of out of my control sometimes. But it was special, man. It seemed like every team we played, there was some Mississippi State guy on the other dugout. Mm-hmm. And I've been telling this story. One of the coolest things for me was no matter where we went in the country, no matter where we traveled this year, there was always maroon in the stadium. Mm-hmm. Somewhere could always spot it out because maroon kind of sticks out with most of the colors we play against. Mm-hmm. I'm saying Los Angeles Angels. There was a family out there, Seattle. I mean, you name it, man, wherever we went, there was a Mississippi State fan. I'd say the only stadium I didn't see a Mississippi State fan in that I can recall would be Toronto. Mm-hmm. Only one.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you that as soon as you got called up, I reached out to Joel Coleman. I was like, "Are the Rays in Atlanta this year?" And you weren't. And he said that's the only is like that was the only reason you didn't see this guy in maroon and white at a baseball stadium. I was definitely going to come, and we'll definitely try to make it out there. This upcoming season. But you know, people talk about the journey. From playing baseball as a little kid to making it to the major leagues. Do you have a sense of, you know, the end of the journey, or is the journey just getting started for you?
Look, man, I'm going to play until they rip the freaking jersey off my back. I part of being a 29-year-old rookie is you kind of start realizing, like, this is just what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
This is just what I want to do for a living. I don't know what else I'd do. I'm going to be 30 years old at camp. I feel young. I feel really better than I ever have. As far as like where I'm at in my career, I hope to play 10 more years. I would love to play until I'm 40, man. That would be awesome. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that my body holds up until then. And I feel like I'm just getting started. It ain't easy though. This is a very, very tough level to stay at. It's one thing to make it. It's a whole nother thing to stay.
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate enough to stay the full season. I missed day one, so I got a full year of service time, but now we're going to work on getting 2 full years of service time. We're just going to look at it just brick by brick, and we're going to take each year for what it's worth, and we're going to, keep working as hard as we can. And, all those cliche answers you hear, I'm still going to give them, because there really is something to that. Most of my interviews this year, I started realizing I was super cliche.
Yes.
But what I realize is that it's there for a reason. And like, mm-hmm. it's just, what's the best advice to kids out there? I'm a 29-year-old rookie. Guess what? Showing up, working hard, believing in yourself. That's like, it really is like that. Like what's the secret recipe? Just work hard, show up, do your best, see how far you can go and just take it one day at a time. Like that really is what I did for 29 years. And I had some great support staff in my family and friends. And, Mississippi State did a lot for me. My high school did a lot for me. I had minor league coaches that did a lot for me and 3 different organizations now that helped me along the way. Like, you just kind of take it one day at a time, like day by day, all that cliche stuff. That really is like what I would say the secret is. Like, and some people get upset with that. Like, oh, dude, there's got to be something. Like, do you coil your hip or stay back a little bit longer, look fastball, look off speed? I'm like, sure, those things help, but, like, just work hard and show up and just see how far you can go.
So you told me you were doing some work earlier today. So what does that work consist of? You know, what is a Major League Baseball player doing when he's away from the team and away from camp to work on his game?
Well, it's kind of a tale of two stories a little bit. For 9 months out of the year, you are structured. Everything's be here at this time. You're watching the clock 9 months out of the year. So for these 3 months, you're kind of on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I communicate with the Rays strength and conditioning staff. I communicate with the Rays hitting department to just try to get better. My first, I'd say 7 days home, I just relaxed and just got away from everything. Then that next week I started working out, moving some weights around, and then you just kind of keep progressing into more and more training. Yesterday I kind of started my off season hitting routine, with my dad actually. And then today I'm not hitting. I'm just going to be training, moved around in the gym a little bit. I'm going to go back in there when we're done with this call and finish up my workout. It's just, you just try to get better, man. You try to get stronger. You try to get faster. You try to get healthier. You try to learn ways to do those things throughout a 9 month season, because do that 162 games.
Mm-hmm.
It is unlike anything I've ever done.
Yeah.
In the minor leagues, it's 150 games, which is pretty close to that, but it's 6-game series. You mm-hmm. get Mondays off every Monday, 6-game series. So you're in one city for a week.
Mm-hmm.
You're in one city for a week. You get Monday off, one city for a week, Monday off. Like, that's pretty freaking easy.
The structure to it.
Yeah. It, I'm not saying it's easy. Like, minor league season is not easy. But compared to the big leagues, man, it's you're in You're in Arizona for 3 days, and you hop on a plane. You're playing the next day for 3 days in San Diego. Then you're going to Seattle. And then we had a 2 week West Coast road trip where we were in six different cities. Then we fly back home. So the time zone changes, and you got to get ready to play East Coast baseball and outside in Tampa. And it's July, and it's 185 degrees. There was just so many things that, like, it was just a lot of you're picking up your stuff, you're putting down your stuff, you're picking up your stuff, putting down your stuff. And then through 162 game season, three game series, it's just a lot of going, going, going. So for these 3 months, man, I try to stay still. I'm either in Rankin County or Starkville, seeing family, seeing friends, and trainings every day. I mean, I'm in the gym 6 days a week. I take Sundays off and just try to keep building, man. It just you never really stop.
Did you have a welcome to the big leagues rookie moment this year?
Yes, plenty. I too many to even think of a story, but for me, I mean, still the coolest thing for me was I went 0 for against the Rockies in my debut. The next game we played, I went 0 for 3 with a walk against the Rockies. Game two was against the Pirates. Adam Frazier's at second. I get my first hit through the six hole, and Frazier throws in my first base hit ball to our dugout. Next pitch, I steal second. Frazier's right there. And there was a picture of us. Like, that was really cool for me. Because when I was in high school, I watched Adam Frazier play at Mississippi State. And I was like, all right, if that hitting approach works at Mississippi State, I think my hitting approach will work there too. So he was kind of my guy of like I watched how Frazier hit when he was in college and I was in high school. So to get my first major league hit with him at second base, that was a cool, like, man, like a kind of full circle moment for me a little bit.
So speaking of playing at Mississippi State, I was at your last game in Omaha, and you take off the uniform for the last time. You don't know I'm ever going to wear this uniform again. Probably not. You had that opportunity a couple weeks ago at the Diamond Dog Classic. What did it mean to put on that M over S one more time?
Really cool, man. That was a special event. Really, really cool event. It's just another story of like, hey man, like what's Mississippi State like? What's playing there like? Well, like now I can be like, well, all the stories I have, and now I can be like, oh yeah. And then like 7 years later at an alumni game, or 6 years later I have an alumni game, and there was close to 11,000 people at the game watching a bunch of guys run around on the field, just reliving the glory days. It was really cool, man. It was we were all really thankful to be out there. We were all kind of stunned at the out like the showing of the fans. I mean, it looked packed, man. I know it fits 15,000, but it looked packed.
Yeah, when you get into the 10,000 plus in that stadium, it just looks that way. You can tell when it's like 15,000. You can see just from looking out in the outfield and stuff. But yeah, that's how that stadium kind of works. For me, I wanted to ask you this. Think about coaching changes, and some guys, they play for one guy their whole career, and they have such loyalty to him, to that coach. You play for four different head coaches. Do you have the kind of loyalty to a single coach that somebody like maybe like Tanner Allen, who basically Chris Lemonis was there with him from day one. Does that you have that same kind of that's my guy mentality?
No,
Yeah.
to be honest, no. Because when I look at our 4 seasons, what sticks out to me is the consistency through the change. Like, man, we 4 super regionals, that ain't easy. 2 Omaha trips, that ain't easy. Winning an SEC championship, really, really freaking hard. I have a lot of gratitude for all four coaches because I learned different things from Cohen, Cannizzaro, Henderson, and Lemonis. All four of them taught me different styles that work as coaches and taught me different ways to communicate with players differently. John Cohen is a hell of a lot different than Gary Henderson. Andy Cannizzaro is a lot different than Chris Lemonis. And you can say that about each one. So, like, what was At the time, I was kind of frustrated with it. Like, man, like, can we get some stability? But what I realized was is that we had a lot of stability in the locker room. We had a group of guys that no matter what, like, hey, we're going to go out there and bust their tail and we're going to go try to win a ball game. And no matter what was going on in our lives or off the field, like when we showed up to the yard, like it was business, all business. And I got a lot of gratitude for all four of them, man. Like there's things Cannizzaro taught me about pro ball that like I wouldn't have known without him. There's things about practice that I wouldn't have known about without John Cohen. And there's and one thing I'll say about Henderson is like the mentality of things. Like he did a great job of like steadying a ship that was about to turn over. Like it would have been really easy for 2018 under Henderson to go very, very south, very, very fast.
You just did a podcast about that season.
Yeah, man, like that. Like if we would have won a national championship that year, and we finished third, but if we would have finished that thing out, like that would have been the most remarkable college baseball season in the history of the game.
Yeah, what if?
I'll die on that hill. We came a little short, but like there's still a lot to be proud of that year, because that kind of started that, like, hey, we belong in Omaha no matter what's going on. And then 2019, I thought we were one of the best teams in the country, and it was just we're coming. We fell short again, but man, I got a lot of gratitude to all four coaches, man. I can't pick a favorite. I can't pick one that was the most meaningful to me. John Cohen recruited me in high school, so I'd say like I owe him a lot. Because without that, I wouldn't have even showed up there. And that's all I can really say on the four guys.
So let's talk about the guy that's in charge of Mississippi State right now. What are your thoughts on Brian O'Connor?
All business, man. I'm pretty blown away at the way he operates. I'm blown away at his commitment to showing the current team what it means to put on that uniform. Something that scared me whenever this whole era of college sports changed during COVID. A lot of things changed during COVID. But what I was worried about was is that you what does it mean now to put on a uniform at the school you represent? And O'Connor just seems completely bought into making sure these kids understand that like it means something to put this uniform on, even whenever you don't want to be here or you're having a bad day. He's bringing back guys to speak that like a lot of guys that like can tell them like, hey, I played here 40 years ago, and this place still means the world to me. So for those kids to hear that, like they understand, like, hey, we're in that moment right now. Enjoy it. Work hard. Do our best. All that good stuff. And not to mention, dude, his recruiting, he's dominating it, man. Like he absolutely putting on a clinic recruiting. And recruiting is a dang big deal, man. Like, and I'm fired up about it. Like I am stoked about him. I think he's just a purebred winner that just knows how to win, man. His track record proves it. His mannerisms prove it. The way he communicates proves it. And just I'm blown away. I think it's a 10 of 10 hire. I think he's going to absolutely be a rock star for Mississippi State.
You famously at the podium after your final game said that Chris Lemonis was the guy who was going to win a national championship at Mississippi State. Would you make a the similar prediction now for Brian O'Connor? Will he bring another national championship to this university?
Yeah, I hate throwing that around now. I was emotional at that press conference for sure, but I meant it. Did I think it was going to be the next season that was possible to win one? No. Or yes, but like not like I wouldn't have been like 2021 or the next season you're going to win it. I want our like fan base to understand that like making a super regional is a difficult thing. I feel like we had a 6-year span where we were just going to the supers and it was just like, this is just what we do. Yes, it is what we do as a program, but like it is very difficult to come out of a regional, especially if you're the road team in the regional. So like to just say that like we're gonna win all these national championships, that's a very tough thing to say. But do I think Brian O'Connor wins a national championship? Yes. I think he will bring another national championship to Mississippi State baseball. I don't know when. I'm not gonna try to predict that, but I also wanna like really emphasize that going to Omaha is a special occasion. It's not this thing that you just roll out every year. And yes, we should expect to be there. That should be our standard, 100,000%. But let's also be very grateful and like understand this. It's a very difficult thing to do.
Jake, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. Glad to have you back on the podcast and glad to have you back in Starkville when you can get here. And good to see you, man. Good luck again in 2026. Opening day will be here before we know it.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me on. It's always good talking. If you ever need me, let me know, man. Hail State, man. And raise up.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.